Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Uh-oh.
Today is May 12th, 2018, and this is episode 157, Lemonading. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
This week, we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive on some exciting recent gaming surprises, as well as catching up on the news before we start gearing up for everybody's favorite time of the year, pre-3. Of course, we are basically in the pre-3 window already, but we have a lot of news to catch up on, so we're going to do that, and then next week start gearing up for E3, talking about schedules, start talking about predictions and what we're excited about. What I'm excited about is talking about pre-3 this year. So Slaggy, what are you excited about going into pre-3?
I'm excited to run from the dentist because hell no, I'm not eating zoodles.
I literally don't know what that means, but okay.
It's when Titus didn't want to go to the dentist's house to have zoodles.
Zucchini noodles.
When he was lemonading.
All right, well done. I also want to note, it's obviously been a little while since we've had a new episode. We are super sorry about that, but unfortunately, my mental health journey got a little bit waylaid late last month. So the last few weeks have been sort of keeping a low profile, making some future plans. I'm really excited about some changes that I am making in my life. I believe it is going to result in a better show here for all of y'all and more energy going into all of the shows that I'm a part of, which I'm very excited to do. We will definitely be around a whole lot more moving forward. So I hope you're still with us because we are excited as hell for what the future is bringing. We now have our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits. Slaggy, could you get us started today?
Yeah, so apparently a new Sakura Wars game is going to be released by the end of the next fiscal year.
Yeah, we got word of the new Sakura Taisen game a couple of weeks ago, last month, I guess. I think we actually had noted about it in our last episode when we were talking about the Shenmue 1 and 2 HD release. We were talking about some other Sonic news. I think we had noted the new Sakura Taisen game.
Yeah, Shin Sakura Sakura Taisen during Sega Fest 2018.
Yeah. Very, very excited to hear that it will be launching by the end of fiscal 2019.
End of March 2019.
Yeah, that means have it in terms of calendar year in the next 9 months. So super, super excited about that. We also have word here that Fantasy Life Online has been delayed again, this time into summer of 2018. Of course, this had been scheduled for a spring 2017 release and then a 2017 release generally, then spring 2018. Now they're saying summer 2018. Of course, coming to level 5, according to level 5, this delay is for some additional overall quality improvements before launch. I'm still excited for this game, assuming it someday actually releases on iOS and Android. What do you think, Slaggy?
With all these delays, I was hoping that they were just going to bring it to Switch, but...
Let's see. We also have a double dose of Dissidia Final Fantasy news for all y'all out there, or at least for those of you who still care. Last month, or I should say between the time this episode recorded and the last episode, we had the announcement of Vayne from Final Fantasy XII as a new playable character.
His name is Vaughn. Oh, wait. No. The other one.
We also have word that Square Enix will be revealing the next playable character this week. In fact, it will be on Tuesday at 8 o'clock Japan time.
Oh, so definitely before you are listening to this.
Yeah, right? So, again, this is going to be one of those situations where all y'all out there in internet radio land are going to know what we're talking about right now before we do, as if we ever know what we're talking about. But what we do know about this character is it is going to be a male character from the first half of the Final Fantasy series.
So at first I was like, oh, that means one of the really early ones. But at this point, 7 counts in the first half. So could it be Zack? Could it be Barrett?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Could it be pretty much anyone from 6? Because only Tina and Kefka are from 6 at this point, right?
Yeah, and I need me some Locke representation or Edgar or Sabin.
Yeah, any of them, please.
Yeah, agree. I'd take Cyan at this point, all right?
What about the little...
Gao? No love for Gao.
I was going to say, I don't even remember his name. I'm like, little cave boy.
I mean, I say that, but I love that character. I love his, like, all his bonus scenes where you discover the stuff with his dad and all that. You know, I actually like that character a lot.
I'm surprised that you didn't include Setzer in there.
I love Setzer.
Or, like, Shadow.
I guess my thing is, the reason why I didn't include Setzer in that is because at least we got Setzer, like a Nomura-designed Setzer in Kingdom Hearts 2. So, like, while it would be cool to see Setzer brought up to, like, modern-day graphics, like, at least we already know what that design would look like. I want to see something, like, fresh.
Yeah, realistically, who are we looking at, though?
I mean, I think a 7 character actually would probably be a pretty good guess, Slaggy. You know, they're definitely trying to work up some hype for the NT release. So my guess would probably be a character from 7 or a character from 4, since those are, like, the fan favorites in
Japan.
Yeah,
but I mean, who else from 4 has not been in the game already?
Yang would be an easy one. Is Kane in the NT version yet?
Because
if not,
so.
That would be a solid one. He was definitely in Duodecim, but not all of the Duodecim characters are in NT yet, I don't believe. Anyway, all y'all out there in Internet Radio Land are going to be cackling at us as it turns out to be someone like...
Fighter from Final Fantasy 1.
I mean, technically, that's kind of what Warrior of Light is, but I'll allow it.
Oh, see, I thought that was, like, the, one of the other ones. I don't know.
So, we also have word here that the upcoming re-release, or I should say, port of Saga Scarlet Graces, which is going to be releasing in Japan on August 2nd on the PS4, Switch, and PC, is going to have new characters. Of course, these are going to be fully voiced. They're going to have, like, some new storylines. Beats. There's going to be, like, some new battle content for people who maybe thought that the original Vita release was a little basic. All in all, it sounds like the Scarlet Graces, like, HD version is really shaping up. And we've had some really exciting teases from Akitoshi Kawazu-san, who has basically all but confirmed a Western release localization. So, fingers crossed that we get that sooner rather than later, because I am eager to return to the world of Saga.
Who is the sexy one with the black hair and the beard and, like, the skimpy red vest?
I haven't played the game yet, so I don't know.
I already want him.
I'm sure you do.
So, speaking of sexy and skimpy...
Oh, I like what you did there.
We have a unexpected announcement courtesy of Limited Run Games. Their next Switch game is going to be Night Trap 25th Anniversary Edition.
Wow. And, you know, this is already available on PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
But Switch.
Well, so, and the interesting thing about this is Nintendo very famously testified back in the, like, Jack Thompson trials from, you know, the early 90s, 93 or 94, that a game like Night Switch would never be available on a Nintendo console. And so the cheeky folks over at Limited Run Games basically did their entire, like, announcement trailer about this based around the theme of, like, never say never, LOL, which I actually thought was kind of clever. I have a soft spot in my heart for Night Trap and all FMV games, so I will probably pick this up. What about you, Psyche?
Yeah, I mean, I would have been, you know, too young to have been able to do this, so I guess if this does well, maybe they'll bring your beloved Pops Ghostly.
That was an Action Max game. It was not, like, a Sega CD FMV game. They're very different.
But that was the one that was, like, a VHS game, right?
Yeah, Action Max. It was, yeah, it was a whole thing. Maybe someday we'll talk about it here. Probably not. So, we also have word here from Capcom that they are going to be shutting down the servers for the iOS and Android Puzzle Fighter game on July 31st. The game is going to be removed from the app stores on July 1st. Of course, this is the game that just launched, like, a couple months ago. I actually really enjoyed this game. I thought that it was a solid implementation of Puzzle Fighter. While the graphics are kind of fugly, ugly. I just don't think that matters too much for Puzzle Fighter. It had a lot of love for many, many Capcom franchises, some really great music, and interestingly, they also put the soundtrack up on SoundCloud for free. You can download it. It recently was data mined to show a bunch of characters that haven't even released yet, including, at the time, Regina from Dino Crisis, although I believe she's actually been added in-game for free now. Overall, I thought it was a really solid product, and I'm actually really bummed that it's shutting down so quickly. Sagi, did you check out Puzzle Fighter?
No, so maybe I'm part of the problem, but that's disappointing because, you know, puzzle games are one of the games that I feel do work well on a mobile platform, and especially Puzzle Fighter, which we haven't seen get much love since, you know, at least the Xbox Live Arcade days, you know? So I hope that it just means that they're going to be making a Puzzle Fighter game for Switch or something.
That would be fantastic.
Speaking of puzzle-y things on the Switch.
Yes.
I mean, Minecraft's kind of a puzzle game.
Ish, yeah. So we have word that the long-awaited Bedrock update will be hitting the Switch release of Minecraft on June 21st.
Well, yabba-dabba-doo for that.
And this is, of course, the free update that adds cross-play to the game with, like, Xbox One, Android, iOS, PC, basically every platform that isn't PS3 or 4. And when you're logged in to your Xbox Live account on your Switch through Minecraft, you can even earn Xbox achievements on your Switch, which is ridiculous. So this is pretty wild, but it basically enables a bunch of new features in the game. It's supposed to increase like stability and like some of the tech stuff, and obviously all the crossplay stuff, which I think people are really excited about. All in all, this is really exciting.
I mean, you say the achievements are silly, but now all my friends will know how good I am at playing the game. What do you think happened to that Toys R Us ad kid? Well, I mean, he can't be doing any worse than Toys R Us, am I right?
Too soon, man.
Well, speaking of things not doing so well, apparently the Disgaea 5 Complete PC release has been riddled with bugs, and so they actually had to pull the demo, and you might have noticed if you were looking forward to this that it was not out on May 7th like it was supposed to be. So now it's just a generic summer 2018 release date, so you know, Nipponichi Software America is working on debugging it, and they will continue to update when they have more information.
All right. Yeah, that's kind of a bummer. You know, we're really excited about this last episode. We're big fans of Disgaea here on the show, and it really sucks to have a game delayed that close to release. Although, as ever and always, we are typically in support of any decision regarding a game's release date that results in the best possible product in consumer hands at the initial time of release. I am so over games getting launched like hella broken and borked, not working at all. People feel like they hella wasted their money, and then the publishers are just like, oh, well, we're going to patch it at some point. No, that is not an acceptable answer. So delays like this, I'm cool.
That's when this things like that happen, you get a Final Fantasy 15. Finally, 3 years later, the game will be complete.
Ah, but I mean, that's exactly it. So we also have some other release date updates here. We have word that the Crash Bandicoot and the Sane trilogy will be releasing on Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, and PC 2 weeks earlier than previously announced.
That's insane.
Yep. Rather than releasing on July 10th on these platforms, it will be releasing on June 29th.
I need to make a disclaimer. I usually try to stay away from words like insane that stigmatize mental health, but I was making an insane joke, so.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't judging you, and I would ostensibly have every reason to, so I think you can relax. So, we also have word here that Faerun Collection is going to be releasing on Nintendo Switch on May 17th. This is going to include the fan-favorite games Faerun, Faerun 2, Faerun Blast, and Faerun Origin. The collection will be $9.99. The games are action RPGs with puzzle elements, not entirely dissimilar to something like the original East games, or even sort of like maybe like a Zelda-type dungeon crawly experience.
Oh.
I'm a fan of these games, having played 1 and 2 on the 3DS. I know they also had Vita, Android, and iOS ports. I'm really excited to have all of these games on my Switch and to revisit them. We also have word here that Lumines Remastered, that is, will be releasing on June 26th. This is, of course, coming to the Nintendo Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Previously, we had expected a May 2018 release window. They didn't make that, but hey, 1 month, not too much longer to wait.
Wait, I've been saying it as Lumines for, like, as long as I've known you.
Yeah, well, I mean, the kana is definitely Ruminesu, but I've heard a lot of, like, English speakers calling it Lumines, so I don't know. I mean, I don't really care.
I feel like the first time I saw it, I'm like, oh, it's Lumines, and you were like, it's Lumines.
So I probably did correct you that way 10 years ago. You're probably right. 10 years ago, me was probably a total weeb.
At this point, honey, that was almost 15 years ago.
Okay, but yeah, you're actually making my point for me even more. So, I'm just going to call it whatever. Lumines is probably what I will...
Lumens.
Continue calling it.
It's actually just lemmings.
I just want to make sure all of our listeners know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's great. I love Lumines.
It's such a good game. Lumines. If you haven't played it before, this is your time. Like, you are on the spot. You are ready to go. So, we also have word here that the Ikaruga Switch port that was hinted at so strongly just last month is going to be releasing on the Nintendo Switch on May 29th. It's going to be $15 through the eShop. It will have a Tate or Tate mode. We discussed that verbiage last episode as well. We're not getting in another English versus
Japanese.
See me
with them hands. I thought you said a Tate mode.
You jerk, dude.
Thank you.
Nicalis is going to be releasing it. And, you know, it's actually wild. Nicalis, I feel like these days, is, like, killing it. You know, in last generation, Nicalis was sort of looked at as, like, this, like, really, like, jank studio releasing all these games that, like, everything was getting delayed. Things were releasing, like, super borked, buggy, and broken. Now they're, like, really aggressively supporting Switch. They're getting games, you know, onto retail shelves. Stuff like Binding of Isaac that I think most people definitely would not have expected to see a physical release for on Switch. They've really come a really long way. We are actually going to talk about them a little more this episode, but it's kind of wild how, again, Nicalis has really gone from being like Z tier to like B plus tier. So that's cool. Ikaruga is, of course, an amazing game. Another one of those ones that if you've never played it, you absolutely should. If I were to do a list of like 101 games you must play before you die, you know, like those book series of the similar concept, Ikaruga would be listed highly on my list. Like, it's a must play if you never have before. Such a cool take on shmups. Slaggy, you've played Ikaruga. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I'm not that great at it, but I'm also not that great at shmups. And it makes me think of that one, I think more of that one raid in the Colosseum raid, or that one battle in the Colosseum raid in Wrath of the Lich King,
which was a World of Warcraft expansion, for those of you out there who don't know.
And where you had to get the colored orbs, and it was basically, we used to call it the Ikaruga fight.
Yeah, and not just us, like, everyone called it the Ikaruga fight, and for good reason. But, you know, kind of the question I had for you, Slaggy, really, when I asked what you thought of it do you see this as your opportunity, maybe, to jump on the Treasure Train? Because, obviously, this was made by fan-favorite Japanese studio Treasure.
Well,
one has to assume, if this game does well, we might see other Treasure classics coming to the Switch. Where are you at on that? Is there any interest? Is this something you might pick up in the hopes that we at some point get a release of Mischief Makers or Bangayo, or insert your favorite Treasure game here?
I mean, first of all, you missed an opportunity to call it a Treasure Trail. And secondly, I mean, Treasure is your beloved, but I mean, I'll support it because I know...
Bitch, I know you love that McKids game they did.
Okay, but no matter what, they're not going to bring back McKids. MC Kids. Now I'm getting a little emotional. I will support it. I think the Tati mode lets you play it with them hands in the way that you want. I mean, I actually think that's really cool. So I think it's a good choice for them to put it. And we know that the eShop's been, you know, really good for
indie
niche
devs.
Titles. Yeah, so hopefully this will be a good start for them.
Excellent. Why don't you take this next one?
Neo Geo has worked well.
Yeah, absolutely. But why don't you take this next next release date update.
Yes, this is for Sonic Mania Plus. It is going to be arriving in the West July 17th, 2018.
Excellent.
So that's actually 2 days before the Japanese release.
Fantastic. And, you know, we have talked previously about how this is going to be released as a physical version as well as, like, a downloadable update. The downloaded update is going to be a pretty small, like, price point. Like, I think they said $5 or maybe $10. But I've actually seen a lot of people indicating they're going to buy the physical just because they want, like, the reversible Sega Genesis-style cover that it's going to come with. So I wanted to ask you, Slaggy, I assume you're going to pick this up because I know you love Sonic and love Sonic Mania.
I'm trash.
Are you going to go with just the digital upgrade or are you going to buy a physical copy?
I probably have to buy the physical copy.
I will say I hella want that Genesis reversible cover. Like, when I saw that, I went from like, oh, I'll just download it. That'll be fine.
I mean, I'm not even going to be like, oh, I'll get it on PS4 because I don't own it there yet. No, I'm just going to get the Switch physical copy.
Right?
Which is like, you know, the most ridiculous way to double dip.
I mean, it's just the Genesis box art reversible cover. It's just like, it just works so well. It totally looks like a real Genesis era box art, and it totally does it for me. So anyway, I'm super excited about this. That physical version, it's also going to have like a holographic like slipcase and a 32-page art book. The art book will probably be pretty rad too, because there's been a lot of really, really great Sonic Mania art. So
yeah, I love.
I'm stoked. Oh,
I love the animated trailer and with the, you know, the trio, as you know, we've come to know them, hanging out with Mighty and Ray. It's just really cute.
Yeah, have you seen any of the Sonic Mania Adventures shorts? There are two of them out now, I believe.
I haven't, actually.
Now, that's a surprise. I think you should check those out. I think you'd get a lot out of them, Slaggy.
Hey, maybe if they're popular enough, we'll see a release on the eShop of Sega Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't really know how that
I
would
mean, you
work.
Say that, but with Sega Ages coming around again, if ever there was a time to revisit Sega Sonic, this might be it.
It comes with a trackball Joy-Con.
I mean, I get the joke, but I'm sure you could emulate a trackball with a Joy-Con somehow. Oh, man. Anyway, we also have word here that Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, will be releasing on the Nintendo Switch on June 29th. Of course, I'm super excited about that because I've been wanting to play this game for like 8 months, but I didn't want to buy it on PS4, Xbox One, or PC because, as I note here every week, Switch games are the ones I actually finish because the Nintendo Switch really works in my hectic, busy life. So I'm really stoked that I will finally get to play this game. You know, some people have been critical to me about, like, you have more power, a powerful PC and more powerful game consoles, why don't you just play it there? It'll be prettier.
But the Nintendo Switch lets me play the games I want to play anywhere, anytime.
But for me, it's like, dude, I'm lucky in any given week if I can spend, like, more than 4 hours in front of a TV gaming throughout the work week, whereas I can get easily 15 hours of Switch gaming in throughout the work week. So, like, it's pretty self-explanatory. If I'm going to buy a game, I want to be able to play it.
And, like, for me, it's more comfortable to lay in bed playing a Switch than to play a console game. Like, that's the ultimate lazy for me, but sorry.
I've known you for a long time. That is not your ultimate lazy.
Moving on.
We have word that the Western release of Shining Resonance Refrain will be releasing on Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and PC on July 10th. That's in both North America and Europe. This is, of course, the Shining game with art by Tony Taka, the well-liked not quite hentai, but definitely ecchi art. But this game actually has like a really interesting like musical element to it, which, you know, is definitely more interesting than some of these other Shining spinoffs. Slaggy, is this something you have any interest in?
Perhaps. I mean, there's a lot coming. But I mean, the idea is pretty cool. I mean, you know, idol band RPG, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically like, what if a Tales game, but you're a whole party of bards?
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, hopefully there's a demo or something, because, I don't know, there's been a lot of RPGs these days that, like, I'm like, oh, I'm playing the demo for it, and I'm not super feeling it.
Well, hopefully there will be a demo. You can check it out and find out if you're into it or not. We also have word that Disgaea Refine will be heading westward on the PS4 and Switch as Disgaea 1 Complete. that'll be releasing this fall, and I'm pretty excited about it. We talked last episode about the announcement and confirmation of this game, and now we already know it's coming out here later this year. Very exciting. And last, but definitely not least, we have the somewhat somber news that Dark Souls Remastered on Switch is being delayed from its initial May 25th release date to an unspecified summer 2018 release, as well as the Solaire of Astora amiibo that was going to be releasing that same day. The PC, PS4, and Xbox One versions will be maintaining that May 25th release date. Of course, as before, this is one of those things where, for me, as much as it bums me out to see the Switch version get delayed, if it results in a more playable game, maybe like more technically competent, better frame rate or something, it's really difficult for me to whine too much about this delay. Again, you know, I ultimately want a game that works the day it comes out, and I want a game to release in a state that like is fun to play and complete. And if they need a little more time for it in the oven, so be it. What about you, Slaggy? Where are you at here? Is this a title you're excited for? What's the tea?
I don't know. Like, the Souls games in general are kind of too like hard mode for me, but I was kind of like, oh, you know, maybe the Switch version will be the time for me to like properly put some time into it and, you know, learn kind of the ins and outs. So I mean I feel like if there was a lack of Switch titles to be playing, I would be more upset. But I mean, we have Hyrule Warriors coming in a few weeks.
That's less than a week away now.
Yeah. And you know, we just had Tropical Freeze drop, so you know, I'm not without things to play.
Excellent. That makes a lot of sense. All right, well, with all of that having been said, it is time to move over from release dates to news.
News. Oh my god, news.
Oh my god.
So we have Warriors Orochi 4 coming for PS4 and Switch.
Yes!
With 170 playable characters.
Yeah, that sounds about right for this series. Of course, this is the series that is known in Japan as Musou Orochi. But I believe that what is going to be our Warriors Orochi 4 in Japan is actually going to be Musou Orochi 3.
Yeah, there's some naming convention thing that happened there.
Yeah, but Koei Tecmo says that it's going to be more than 170 characters. There's going to be an all-new, like, magic system in the game. And they have already confirmed there will be a Western release. So there's a lot to be excited about, especially for those of us who like Musou games. Definitely want to keep an eye on. We also have word here that Nintendo is partnering up with the well-loved mobile studio Psy Games for a new mobile action RPG. This game is going to be called Dragalia Lost. It appears to be a very, like, core gamer-type experience. Top-down action RPG. I'm sorry, what was that?
It's a drag queen fantasy RPG.
Ah!
Dragalia Lost.
You know, I actually think it has, like, a really appealing art style, very anime, shonen-type looks. Mostly not too fan-servicey, but, you know, mostly. There is a little bit of that element. As many people often complain, you kind of need the fan service element in the mobile space right now. Yoko Taro behind the Nier games has been very critical of that mindset. But this game, it looks really cool. It's going to be releasing in Japan pretty soon, actually. And they have talked about a worldwide release down the line. I'm excited for this game. I get into mobile games. And Nintendo actually announced during their recent financial briefing, and we'll have a little bit more news on that in a few minutes, but they are also purchasing around 5% of Cygames' issued stocks for future partnership purposes. And lest you're concerned that this might somehow usurp Nintendo's current partnership with DNA, Nintendo's actually indicated that things have gone so well with DNA that that's actually why they were open to this business opportunity as well. So this is less like, oh, mobile isn't working out and we're jumping ship, and more like mobile is working so well that we want to get into bed with another company and double our efforts. Of course, you know, for me, as long as these mobile Nintendo experiences continue to be in the service of the bigger Nintendo picture, I think they have so far all been fun, well-designed little side experiences that have, you know, heightened my enjoyment of these IPs rather than detracted.
I still see people on my Twitter feed every day posting about either Fire Emblem Heroes, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Or Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, even, which, you know, Fire Emblem Heroes was pretty good, but I just, you know, I don't know, I just, mobile gaming generally is not for me.
Yeah, and that's fair.
But surprisingly, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp didn't grab me either, but, you know, I'm glad to see that those are working out and that, you know, people seem to be sticking with them. I mean, how I see people who are still making me photos, I guess it might be...
they would have had to have stopped now because I believe Miitomo unfortunately closed up this week.
Yeah, but I've up until, like, you know, a few the past week or so, I still saw people making me photos from Miitomo.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I was still using Miitomo toward the end as well, so I'm not surprised to hear that. But yeah, in case you're also wondering, Cygames, you might be familiar with them. Back in the day, they did Rage of Bahamut. They have the digital card game Shadowverse going. Granblue Fantasy is them, and that one is huge. They're actually doing, like, spin-offs, and including a project with Platinum Games. So
I think is Granblue Fantasy the one I see a lot of my gay friends?
Kind of like some Bara dudes?
Yes.
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 It is not a Bara game, but it has, like, a very, like, almost like a watercolor and pencil sketch art style, and there are some, like, beefy shirtless dudes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that is that game. We also had the official announcement, and I think we talked about this last episode, so I'm not going to dig into it too much, but we got, again, the confirmation that Guilty Gear Double Cross Accent Core Plus R is coming to Switch.
Okay, so this one is a Double Cross?
Yes.
So how do I know when it's Double Cross and when it's just XX or cross-cross?
Honestly, you just kind of have to look at the kana when it's, you know, spelled and see how it's spelled out.
I've been really sloppy at keeping up with learning my kana, so sorry about it.
Well, then it's time to pick it back up, girl. We also have word here that Taiko no Tetsujin Nintendo Switch version has, you know, we heard it got confirmed somewhat recently. We now have our first batch of songs from it. I'm really excited about this. I'm not going to go over all of these, but, you know, we have word, confirmation, I should say, of Alola from Pokemon Sun and Moon, the anime. We have Be the One from Kamen Rider Build, Chala Head Chala from Dragon Ball Z, Cruel Angel's Thesis from Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Mommy.
How Far I'll Go from the Japanese language release of Moana.
Oh, wow.
Howling from the Seven Deadly Sins, Itsumo Nando Demo from Spirited Away, Jump Up Superstar from Super Mario Odyssey, Odore Dore Dora Doremon Ondo from Doremon, a Splatoon 2 medley, and Zen Zen Zense from Your Name. There's also a bunch of other songs, and again, there's going to be 70 total, over 70 total, so already this is shaping up to be a hell of a track list and a hell of a release. This for me will definitely be like a day one pickup. I'll probably, you know, pre-order or preload the Japanese release as soon as it goes up on the Japanese eShop. Slaggy, I know you like the Taiko games. I don't think you've been doing much importing in the last few years. Any interest in Taiko?
I mean, with this track list, it's gonna be hard to pass it up.
Excellent. Then this is definitely one we will be talking a lot more about in the coming months. Supposedly this game will be releasing in Japan this summer, so please keep an eye out.
But speaking of things that maybe will be passed up, Konami last month announced Castlevania Grimoire of Souls. It's an iOS game. No, to be fair, it's a side-scrolling game. It's not patchy slot. It has a single-player and multiplayer modes. To be fair, it doesn't seem like it's all that bad, but it's an iOS game.
Yeah, you know, I'm open to phone games. I actually really like phone games. The problem is a 2D Castlevania game, which, by the way, is something I want very, very much. I want a controller for that.
Yeah.
As this is a smart, it looks like it is going to be a free-to-play game. I will try it out to see. You know, it appears to be very much based on, like, a Harmony of Despair, the multiplayer...
With microtransactions, though.
The multiplayer 2D game. It does have all new visuals done in a 3D style, but on like a 2D plane, similar in style to Bloodstained. The graphics, I actually think they look really good. It's just kind of unfortunate that, you know, it's going to be a phone game and not like on Switch or something. Yeah, I would eat this crap up on Switch. Yeah, multiplayer Castlevania action is totally my thing. I'm sorry, continue.
Anytime I see a game with little energy bolt meter and gems, I just like, this is what happened. Facebook Games like did this to us. Thanks, Sangha.
You need to calm down.
Hey, I'm salty that that's the route they went with the Harry Potter RPG. But I have to say that the new character, Genya Arikado, is pretty cool. But
I'm also going to say Genya Arikado is actually not a new character. He is going to be the main character of this story, but that's actually the... What were you going to say?
I'm like, oh, his name sure sounds a lot like Alucard.
Ah, so he is Alucard. He is a character from the, like, Dawn of Souls, or Dawn of Sorrow. Yeah, Aria of Sorrow and Dawn of Sorrow. The Soma Cruz games.
So he's like the reincarnation of Alucard?
Not even a reincarnation. He's Alucard. He doesn't like die or anything.
He's
it's just his modern
persona.
Precisely
in
so.
In Japan.
Yeah, because in those games, you know, they take place in like the late 90s, early 2000s. And so it is supposed to be like modern day Japan. And this is his current persona then.
I thought one of them was like 2035 Tokyo.
That could also be that. Honestly, it's been a long time since I've replayed those games because.
But apparently those two
They're overrated, even though I think they are super... let me be clear. I think they are both super, super, super good games, but it frustrates me because they completely overshadow the other excellent Castlevania games on the GBA and DS.
I thought those were, like, your favorite.
No, my favorite is Order of Ecclesia, which is my favorite Castlevania game all around, and I say that all the time.
Oh, see, I thought you were a Soma Cruz fanboy.
I do think that Soma Cruz's ability to take enemy monster souls and like learn their powers for his own is like really cool, and it does look like a Grimoire of Souls is going to keep all of like characters' original powers from their games. So Charlotte will have, you know, her spell book. It looks like Soma is going to have the ability to use monster souls. Shanoa from Order of Ecclesia will have her glyphs. Maria will have her animal friends. So, you know, it does look like a really faithful experience. It looks like exactly what I would want from a new online Castlevania game,
but
not on a phone. Yeah. I don't even mind like all the energy and stuff. Like, that's fine. I don't care.
Make it a $20 title and not have any of that bullshit.
Well, that would be better, yes. And for those of you who are concerned, the Symphony of the Night version of Alucard is a playable character in the game.
Cool. Can they kiss? Can Genya and Alucard kiss?
So we also have word about Nintendo's online service for the Switch, which is going to be launching in September. It is going to be a $20 a year plan. You will need a subscription for $20 a year to play online games after this launches. That includes previously released multiplayer online games like Splatoon 2, ARMS, Kart 8. There's also going to be what they're calling a family account plan, which will allow up to 8 accounts to use the same subscription for $35 a year.
Thanks,
and they
Mom.
Have noted that those can be accounts on different consoles. So already a lot of people are kind of wondering if maybe there won't be some way that they can group up with friends and maybe share like a family subscription so that, you know, everybody can put in $5 or $6 and, you know, everybody is set.
And then
something that's really
3 years later, you're like, oh, we don't talk to them anymore. We don't talk to Slidekick.
Something else that's really interesting about this news, though, is that in addition to it opening up online play, it's also going to open up cloud saves so that you can back up your saves
finally.
To the cloud, finally. And it is going to include access to 20 NES games, as well as additional games, which will be added to their library in the future, in a plan which a lot of people have been referring to as Nesflix. The NES games will be downloads, so you will be able to play them offline. The multiplayer games will have online features added to them, and the single player games will actually have like a screen share with your friends or like pass the controller. So let's say Slaggy was playing Legend of Zelda and he needed help fighting a Dodongo or something. He's like, Spike, I can't get this Dodongo to breathe in the smoke so I can kill it with
Excuse
just one hit.
Me? I'm not that bad. I mean, maybe it'd be like, oh, this Room of Darknuts always pisses me off. Can you?
And yeah, then I could just take control of his game for him.
Like Dodongo. I mean,
kill them
on.
For him, and then he could resume control. Of the initial launch lineup, Nintendo has confirmed 10 of the games that will be available immediately on day one. That is Ice Climber, Legend of Zelda, Balloon Fight, Soccer, Tennis, Mario Bros., Super Mario Bros., Super Mario Bros. 3, Dr. Mario, and Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong.
I'm, you know, I don't necessarily want to be spending a ton more money for online services, but
$20 a year is not that bad.
I also feel comfortable paying $20 for a year and getting access to these NES games. I love classic gaming, y'all know it, and anything that gets that on my Switch is going to be welcome to me. So definitely super stoked about that. What do you think, Slaggy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously, if it was $50 a year, I'd pay for the functionality. I'm just, and I'm really excited about the Netflix thing.
Should note, that is a fan name. That is not Nintendo is calling it, but that is what we are going to call it.
I've heard it referred to as like Nintendo Classics. I don't know if that's an official thing yet either, but I feel like we've got to maybe figure out an Elgato situation in the studio, and maybe we could play Super Mario Brothers 3. I know it's not your beloved world, but
I have some plans exactly along that line, so don't worry, Slaggy. That is going to happen.
Except it's going to be Ice Climber.
Ew. I will say it does seem a little anti-consumer to me to remove online access for already released games and start gating that content and that experience with this subscription. So I actually think that is kind of fucking lame as hell, like, and exploitative of the fan base and supporters of Nintendo. Sidekick and I's perspectives are a little skewed because we are such dyed-in-the-wool Nintendo fans, but I definitely did want to note, again, you know, from a business perspective, I get that they're doing what makes the most sense, but it does, from that angle, sit a little poorly with me. It's just because this is a service I would be paying for just for the access to the NES games that it's less on my mind. But I would definitely be very interested in hearing from any of our listeners that might want to comment on that angle. If you have a different take from us, I'd love to hear it.
You're saying taking away, like, the Splatoon and Kart?
Well yeah, like, how many people currently play Mario Kart 8 DX? Like, I mean, I play it online all the time, even still.
Well, maybe people just need
to... people are going to lose access to that if they're not willing to pay.
Maybe people just should have been more informed from the start of the launch of the Switch, where Nintendo was very transparent about this. Sorry.
You know, Nintendo was transparent, but not everybody is willing to devote as much of their lives as we are willing this stuff.
Maybe that's their problem, and maybe the soccer moms need to start listening to GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org. And yeah, if everyone listened to this show, it would be a little easier for them.
Maybe we can get some of our favorite moms, like GameBuie Superfan Crystal, to play soccer with us, and then it could be a soccer mom's stream.
That would be cute. So we also have word here that there is a new Digimon project in the works. This was announced on the day that the last film of the Digimon Adventure Tri project released. We don't yet know anything else about it, but the announcement was the adventure once again evolves. A new project begins. So, you know, please be excited about it, and we will definitely follow up more here. We like Digimon, even if not as much as Pokemon, and we'll definitely talk more about this.
And speaking of the adventure evolving and a new project beginning, we have the announcement just a few weeks back that Nintendo has a new president. This announcement came from Nikkei initially, I believe, and we have the news that Tatsumi Kimishima-san is stepping down, and in his place will be 46-year-old Shuntaro Furukawa-san, who is maybe a name that you're not familiar with, but he's actually been with the company since 1994. He's worked as the outside director of the Pokemon Company since 2012, and was the managing executive officer, supervisor of corporate analysis and administration division, and director of Nintendo since 2016. And Kimishima had felt that, you know, Nintendo's management should be younger to be better understanding of its customers and what they want. And, you know, we've noticed this trend over the past few years, or, you know, I mean, really like the past decade or so, of Nintendo kind of handing the reins to the younger generation of creative talent, you know, especially with things like Mario and such. So,
yeah, you know, and I will say, I think Kimishima did a fantastic job as interim president. Like, I think that he really put things on the right track for Nintendo in a lot of ways. Like, it, you know, really, I think Kimishima was a huge part of the success of the Nintendo Switch. Obviously, Iwata-san was as well.
Right.
But it's really exciting to see Furukawa-san coming in, stepping in here, because he really seems to have a really great focus on what makes the Switch special and why the Switch has been doing so well. And he seems really invested in continuing that trend, which obviously I'm a big fan of.
And, you know, the thing, it'll be interesting to see, like, E3 will probably be his first big kind of moment. It'll be interesting to see.
Well, it actually may not. My understanding is that he steps into the role in late June. So, they might use that opportunity to introduce him to the fandom
if he's going to be a more public face. Kimishima-san has not really been, you know, as public facing as, you know, someone like Iwata-san was. And it's interesting to note that when Iwata-san was named president, that he was actually maybe even a little bit younger at that time.
Well, yeah, so Iwata-san, when he was put in this position,
was
42.
Okay.
Furukawa-san is 46.
46, so.
But, of course, Kimishima was 68, so it's still definitely trending younger. And, you know, something else to note about Furukawa-san is that he is fluent in English. He actually worked for a decade in Europe, including spending many years in Germany. So, in a lot of ways, if the goal is for Nintendo to be a little bit more serious about, like, being a worldwide company and putting everyone on sort of like that same page, as we've sort of been seeing, as we've been talking about, a lot more simultaneous worldwide releases for Nintendo is sort of something we've been talking about over the last couple of years. That's exactly, because, you know, we're talking about a lot of these games hitting, you know, other region eShops and having, you know, multi-language options, even if they come out in that region months earlier than they are in, for example, Disgaea 5 releasing in the Japanese eShop at the Switch launch last year and then not coming out here for another like 3 months, but the Japanese eShop version had full English language support. Seeing stuff like that, it seems like that is sort of in line with what Furukawa will be bringing to the table. He's also a gamer, which is really nice. His favorite game right now is Golf Story, which I actually really like, because, you know, it really represents the fact that he's looking at like indie games. You know, he's playing these sort of weird off-center, almost like Game Buoy interest games, and not just, you know, Bros of War or whatever. So I'm super stoked about that. He also apparently grew up as a huge fan of the Famicom. He's like super, super, super respectful to like Miyamoto-san and all of like the old Nintendo creative heads. And, you know, his focus, he says, is really to come in and continue growing the momentum of the Switch. I think that that is the perfect mission statement right now. I think that this is a phenomenal choice for the next president of Nintendo. Not whom I was expecting, but a phenomenal choice all the same. Saiki, do you have any last thoughts on Furukawa-san?
No, I'm just excited to see, because, you know, this is definitely a great era for Nintendo, so I'm excited to see him continue. I think that they're doing a lot of things right with the Switch that is, like, very planned and calculated, not, like, cold and calculating, but, you know, like, I feel like the Wii, in some ways, was almost a happy accident with how hugely successful it was. The Switch, they, you know, have been very, very much, you know, intentional with their decisions, so.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He seems very strategic and methodical, which I like. All right, well, let's get over to Culture Club. This is, of course, where we talk about some games culture news, maybe not specifically relating to, like, any games that we're going to be talking about or any specific, like, announcements, and, you know, just some of the bigger gaming culture discussions. This first one, of course, is that we have a Monster Hunter film being made in Hollywood.
Actually, it's being made in Cape Town.
Oh, okay, well, you're not wrong. But I really meant through the, like, Hollywood film system. It is going to be directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, whom you're probably more familiar with from the Resident Evil movies. It's going to be heading into production this September, according to Variety. And Mila Jovovich is going to be starring in it, much like she does in all of Paul Anderson's films.
I hope she uses an insect glaive.
Right? God, that would be badass. Paul W.S. Anderson should not be mistaken for Paul Thomas Anderson, also a very well-known and loved
film
director.
Have they ever worked together?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
Could you imagine that, though?
That would be pretty interesting. I'm actually really excited about this, though.
Of course
I think
you
that
are.
Paul
it's
Anderson.
Monody.
I think that Paul Anderson, you know, he might not make movies that make a lot of sense. He might not make movies that have, like, strong plots, but typically he does, like, good stylization, like, really great set pieces, you know, just like,
I mean, that's all Monster Hunter really
looking
needs.
Movies. And I feel like that will serve Monster Hunter perfectly. Exactly, Slaggy. So I'm actually really stoked about this, and I cannot wait to see this when it eventually releases someday. You know, I normally am super skeptical about video game movies, but as we know, Paul Anderson actually gets these things made. So I'm confident that we will see this at some point.
In other news, we have an anime adaptation of a PSP game from 2012 called Conception Ore no Kodomo o Undekure, or Conception, Please Deliver My Child. However, it's not like Baby Maker Extreme where you pop a baby out and send it flying across the hospital, which, if you're not familiar with Baby Maker Extreme, and you is that still available on Xbox Live?
It is unfortunately not, I don't believe.
Oh, that's a shame.
Because a lot of the Xbox Live indie games came down.
That's right, yeah. This is about the protagonist Itsuki has to pour energy from 12 star maidens into a device that produces star children. So I must have missed out on this. This was very early Bowie days. Are you familiar with Conception and Conception 2?
I am, yes.
Is this something that is going to be worthwhile, or is it going to be moe trash, or
you know, the
what are
thing
we looking
is,
at here?
The thing is, the games are kind of trash, but they're also fun trash. So this is one of those things where, like, it's probably going to be garbage, but it is possible it's like, that it's going to be fun.
Oh, Itsuki-kun, I need your energy. And he's like, what? Because he thinks it's like his nut. Anyways, this is an interesting piece that I had forgotten that you had linked to me personally a little bit ago. And so when we were preparing for this episode, I was like, oh yeah, that was crazy. Sorry, I don't mean to utilize that language, but
I'm happy that you are saying that to our listeners. And obviously, you know, I'm a big fan of using language that doesn't make people uncomfortable. But don't worry about me. I am okay with words like that being used.
Okay.
In fact, I will note, when talking about some mental health issues with one of my bosses, and maybe I shouldn't share this, he was trying to make a joke and didn't even realize what he said. He had made a joke about something that, like, oh, the stuff that you deal with would make anyone crazy, and then was like, oh wait, I didn't mean it like that. And I was just like, no, it's fine. Like, some of these words, even though, you know, they are kind of toxic, even though they are kind of promoting unhealthy attitudes, they also were a part of, like, the commonly used and accepted lexicon for the last, I mean, much longer than I've ever been alive, you know, decades and decades and decades. And so I wouldn't expect that stuff to change overnight. I appreciate you being mindful, but it's cool. I'm not worried.
So what hackers discovered, specifically PS4 hackers, is that the remastered PS4 release of Parappa the Rapper is actually running on a PSP emulator. So they were able to get a couple other games running, including LocoRoco, which also has a remastered version, notably. Some other hackers claim that they got, like, Patapon running, but that certain games, particularly ones over the emulator's file size limit of 800 megabytes, like Lumine's Lumines, would get stuck on the loading screen. But that's interesting, especially when, you know, the PS3 was like, oh, nope, we're taking out all of the emulation bits that, you know, there's basically, they're using a PSP emulator. emulator to run their games. What's interesting about this as well is that the emulator allows for high definition textures to be swapped in, so it uses the same code, but it allows for the high definition textures. So, I mean, I think that's actually a really cool thing. I guess I didn't realize this, but I guess that's what the PS2 classics do as well. So it just is interesting, especially with their attitude about emulation on the PS3, like that now they're basically using emulators. I thought it was interesting. M-I-X, the flower into the bowl.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about this news because presumably at least we can, you know, not just through like hacks, but maybe like officially we will see more PSP HD releases. I would like that. I would also be really happy if at some point we could see some games not made by Sony first party get released this way. I mean, who among us wouldn't spend $30 on a new release of Crisis Core, for example?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I just watched a YouTube video about Crisis Core today. That's kind of why it's on my mind. But I really think it's a fantastic game, fantastic experience, and just great all around. We also have an interesting piece here. This is an article by Kotaku. It's over on their Compete platform, which is sort of like the collaboration they do with Deadspin to talk about esports games. And it's kind of a little bit of salt and whining about Juan Hungrybox Debidma. I always struggle with his name, and I never want to like say someone's name wrong and be super disrespectful. How did you pronounce that?
I always assumed it was Debidma.
Debidma. Okay, that makes sense.
Or Debidma. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not trying to. Like I said, I'm not trying to like pronounce someone's name wrong. Hbox. Yeah, Hungrybox. But basically,
former Game Buoy crush.
Right. Basically, though, you know, we have the Smash Switch Invitational happening at E3. Nintendo has announced whom all is going to be coming in. Competing there. A lot of people, myself included, were surprised when Hungrybox wasn't invited. And apparently Hbox was also surprised, noting that, you know, it's not as outlandish as Flat Earth, but I was surprised to say the least. And I actually
maybe it was the time that he said that Reggie sucked at Smash.
Ah, you know, if anything, I would think that it would be when he said, a certain company acknowledges or refuses to acknowledge us. When he was talking about Smash Melee, and he's been very critical about Nintendo for not supporting Smash Melee, although again, they have been supporting Smash 4 quite a bit, but Hungrybox doesn't like Smash 4 because Jigglypuff isn't as competitive as he would like. Don't get me wrong, I've seen a lot of really great Jigglypuff players out there, but you know, Hungrybox even still is saying, you know, he's going to be playing Smash 5 depending on how good or bad Jigglypuff is, but Melee will still be around. So, I don't know. I'm a fan of esports. I'm a fan of competitive Smash, but this entitlement kind of rubs me the wrong way.
I started to get over Hungrybox after he was like poo-pooing Smash 4 so much and his attitude about that. Like, I am totally okay for people who are like a fan of Melee, yes, I understand that Brawl was kind of a hot mess, but I mean, for people to put down these other games because it's not, you know, top tier competitive or whatever. I mean, like, that's where it really, like, went from thirst to worst for me.
And I will say, I get still loving Melee. I get still wanting to play Melee. I still play retro games all the time.
Ironically.
But I'm not calling out Nintendo for not supporting a game that they're no longer profiting on. They have moved on. They've brought the franchise forward. And, you know, they want to put their promotion behind newer games that they can still sell, that, you know, the audience is for still growing rather than shrinking. It just makes sense to me, and it just seems like a bunch of sour grapes. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was saying, you know, the ironic thing is that as we have been playing Smash 4 over the past few years, and I've started to really, you know, feel more comfortable with the game, I can see where I find myself being like, you know, I hope that Smash 5 maybe is a little bit tighter gameplay-wise.
Interesting. That's interesting.
The little rumor mill buzzing around, who knows how dependable this is, but I was watching some YouTube rumor Thursday, and they're talking about, like, apparent E3 things that are gonna be revealed by Nintendo, and, like, they're like, yeah, like, it's gonna be, the gameplay appears to be a mix between Melee and Smash 4, so.
And I think that would be a good direction for
them. I think so, too, so.
Alright, last but definitely not least, we have a really cool fan project here. You know, obviously people can already do a lot of modding to the Wii U version of Breath of the Wild, and basically what has happened here is that a really dedicated fan group, which actually had started with just two modders, but has actually grown since then, are basically doing like a total conversion of Breath of the Wild to basically turn Zelda into the main playable character of the game. They're giving her new armor, they are updating the story to reflect that, you know, the obviously for Zelda to be in that position rather than Link would require the story to be changed a little bit. They're making all of these changes to the game as like a total conversion, and all of the videos I've seen just look so cool, and I just think this is really awesome. I would hope that Nintendo sees that people are going to this much effort and that people are responding to it so well, and maybe thinks about, you know, this sort of direction
make
for Zelda future
playable
Zelda titles.
In the next game. It's about time.
Anyway, Saeed, what do you think?
No, I mean, it's definitely overdue. I think it looks so cool. I love Princess Zelda. I always have loved Princess Zelda. And I thought it was cool when they had a Linkle mod. Was that the same people who made the Linkle mod? You know, Girl Link.
Yeah, Linkle. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, is this the same people who...
That I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had a text message at like the exact wrong moment there, so I missed your question. I thought I was answering something else. But yeah, no, I'm not sure if this is the same people. I just know that the work on this that they've already completed looks like so well put together and like very professional.
Yeah.
Like it already looks like it could be a real product.
And I need me some playable Zelda, and not just in Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's her legend, damn it.
All right, well, I'm actually getting super hungry. I need pizza. Let's try to wrap this up in the next 10 minutes or so.
We have some lemonade to go with that pizza?
Yep. Let's talk about these really cool surprise announcements from the last month or so. So this first one, this was announced like today, like in the last 24 hours. This is a new Gunvolt game. This is Gunvolt Chronicles Luminous Avenger X. It's going to be released for Switch. It was announced this weekend at the Bit Summit Volume 6 event in Japan. The game actually features Gunvolt's archrival Kopen as the main playable character. It looks fantastic. There's like a whole gameplay trailer. It just looks so freaking cool. It also looks really far along already. Integrate has said that, you know, they're going to be talking more about this game in the next few months, over the summer especially. I am really hoping this is a 2018 release because I want to play this super bad. Saigi, have you watched this trailer at all? Have you,
Yeah, and I mean, basically, IntiCreates is doing what Capcom and Konami don't, so let's just say that.
Yeah, and, you know, also, this game will be continuing with the Gunvolt series' fixation on, like, combo systems and time attacks, and I don't know, I'm super here for it. I love that style of game.
It's interesting that Gunvolt became a franchise. I don't know if anyone ever quite expected that, but good for them.
Right? Well, it's funny because, you know, in a lot of ways, Gunvolt as a series is IntiCreates doing what Capcom can't. But you had also mentioned Konami there. Why? What are they doing that Konami's not doing?
Well, remember when the Bloodstained Kickstarter had a stretch goal and it was a retro bonus game?
I do, because I backed that game, the full Bloodstained game, for like hundreds of dollars. I've never gone in on a Kickstarter like I have on that one.
Well, on May 24th, you'll be able to download Bloodstained Curse of the Moon. This is basically IntiCreates doing Castlevania 3, complete with NES-influenced graphics. Of course, definitely there's things that are going on here visually that we can see that the Famicom definitely wouldn't have been able to handle, but you know, complete with branching, levels, multiple endings, and the ability to switch between playable characters.
The crazy thing is, like, This is basically, like, the most well-put-together, like, well-done Castlevania 3 fan game I've ever seen. Like, right down to, like, even having, like, four playable characters that you can switch between. But in Castlevania 3, like, you find a character on your adventure, they join you, and then you can switch between Trevor Belmont or that new character until you find your next character, and then you can only take one of them with you and leave the other behind. In this game, you can actually have, like, all four characters, like, go on your adventure with you, like, once you found them all, and, like, just have this whole arsenal of player characters with different abilities, which I think is fucking awesome. I'm sorry, continue, Slaggy.
Well, I just have to say, are we sure that Inti Creates isn't actually called Grant? Because they're doing the nasty to Konami.
Right, you're not wrong though.
No, but this looks really cool, and you know, should hopefully wet people's whistles until Bloodstain drops. And is that still 2019 that they're expecting for Bloodstain?
Yeah, they're still saying that Bloodstain is a 2018 game, and that we will have a sense of its release window soon. A lot of us are expecting a release date announcement at E3.
Well, that's exciting. But in the meantime, we have Curse of the Moon. The protagonist is Zangetsu, who is pretty studly. He is a swordsman and a demon fighter. There's also Miriam, which is a very Castlevania sort of name. She has a whip, of course. There's Alfred, who is an alchemist. That seems pretty cool. And Gebel, who I guess he is uses spooky flight abilities. I don't really get, like, because he's kind of like a spooky bat boy, right?
Yeah, well, so he's like actually going to be like one of the big bads of the core game.
Well,
and
Miriam,
he does have like
Miriam
different abilities.
Is Miriam the main character in the...
In the core game, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So that's why...
And one of them had the alchemy shards like fused or bonded to them and is still good. And the other had them fused and bonded and became like super evil.
Yeah, oh, and so that's where Alfred comes into play. Okay, so it's the prequel.
Yeah. At least they had initially pitched it as a prequel. We assume that it still is.
It's a prequel and a sequel. Knowing Igarashi-san. So, do you want to take this next one?
Yeah, well, so I'm really excited about it because, you know, I have whined a lot here in the last year about Monster Hunter Double Cross for Switch not coming out in North America, you know, releasing in Japan, and then Capcom completely overlooked it for Monster Hunter World here. Well, it might not be coming via Capcom, but Nintendo has announced that they will be publishing Monster Hunter Double Cross in North America under the name Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate. This is incredibly exciting. It's going to be releasing in North America on August 28th, so not too far off. It is going to have all of the features and monsters from the Japanese release of the game, although we don't know yet about some of like the Shonen Jump promo DLCs, but all of the monsters, all of the weapons, all the hunter arts and styles, all the G-rank quests and stuff. So it's something to be really excited about. I'm so stoked about this. I was freaking out and losing my mind when this was announced just like the day before yesterday. You know, Capcom not doing us any big favors here, but I'm really glad that Nintendo stepped up and is going to be publishing this, because I think there's a real opportunity to grow Monster Hunter as a brand, to grow the fan base so that we all have, you know, more people to play with online. And I will absolutely, despite the fact that I imported Double Cross, I will absolutely be picking up Generations Ultimate and, you know, importing my character from the 3DS version of Monster Hunter Generations. What about you, Slaggy?
Well, now I don't feel so guilty about not putting a lot of time into World, because basically at this point I'm like, okay, I'll just wait until Double Cross is out. It's going to be hard for me to call it Generations Ultimate, but until, like, you know, I'm used to saying, like, let's play some MHGU. So I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, like I said, for me, playing on the Switch is preferable, so sorry. So I'm pleasantly surprised that this is the most Beyonce news that they could have sprung on us. So thanks, Nintendo. Nintendo does what Capcom don't, or what Cap can't. And speaking of Nintendo, we have a new Famicom Mini, or Nintendo Classic Mini Family Computer, a golden version that celebrates the weekly Shonen Jump 50th anniversary. And And no, as you would expect, it has some titles that, you know, reflect the Jump franchises. There's Tag Team Match Muscle, Dragon Quest, Fist of the North Star, Dragon Ball Shenron no Nazo, Mystery of Shenron, I guess, yeah. Kinnikuman, Kinnikusei Oisodatsu Sen, Saint Seiya, Ogon Densetsu, Captain Tsubasa, Saint Seiya, Ogon Densetsu Kanketsu Hen, Sekiryu, Famicom Jump Hero Retsuden, Sakigake, also Otoko Joku, Shippu Ichigosei, and Koko Shinwa, Yamato Takaru Densetsu, Tenchi Okurao, Destiny of an Emperor, Hokuto no Ken 3, Shinseki Sozu Seiken Retsuden, Dragon Balls 3 Gokuden, Captain Tsubasa 2, Dragon Ball Z, Kyoshu Saiyajin, Magical Taluto-kun, Fantastic World, Famicom Jump 2, Saikyo no Shichinin, and Rokudenashi Blues.
I think this is really exciting. Obviously, you know, we've actually seen a couple of these, like, retro-style Shonen Jump game compilations. I'm really excited about this one, especially just because some of these games, like that Muscle game, I loved that game when I was a kid.
Of course.
Which, based on the...
I bet you liked Muscle games.
Of course, released in Japan as Kinnikuman, but...
Right.
I'm just super excited because, like, especially, like, some of these, like, Hokuto no Ken games, some of the, like, Dragon Ball Gokuden game, like these are fun games that have, I actually think, aged really well mechanically, so I'm stoked to see these classic games finding a new audience. And while I highly doubt that I will ever have the opportunity to find one of these, if I ever do, I'm gonna buy the hell out of it.
Well, I think it's interesting because we always assume that the Famicom Minis and Super Famicom Minis and such would just be like, you know, the classic ones, but this, like, I mean, I don't know how much there would be like for a Famicom Mini Sports Edition or something, but you know, it was
Famicom Mini Puzzle Edition.
Oh yeah, like a puzzle edition, I totally would jump on that. So I mean, I guess it's kind of a shame that, you know, you can't, like, you know, if you really like the gold Famicom, that there's not like a game cart or something that is just interchangeable, but you know, collector's gonna collect.
Well, and we've I've seen a lot of people sort of wondering online, you know, because we know that Nintendo's been talking for a while here in North America about doing additional pressings of the Nintendo Mini or Nintendo Classic or whatever.
NES Classic.
NES Classic, thank you. I've seen a lot of people wondering if we're not going to see like a different game lineup when this restock eventually does happen. And, you know, it'd be kind of interesting to see because some of us, with just a couple of different games, would probably rebuy this thing as well as they would be able to sell it to all new folks. And I say that even though I know how hackable these things are, like, it would still be hard for me not to buy one. Anyways, like, do you have any final thoughts on that one?
No, I just think it's cool, and especially for fans of Weekly Shonen Jump.
Excellent.
Believe it!
We also have an announcement here from SNK. This is about the Neo Geo Mini. This is a new mini console that will connect to your TV to play 40 different classic Neo Geo games. The console is going to be coming in two versions. One is the Japan/Asia release, and the other is the International Edition. They are going to be colored differently based on the regions that they're from. Like, the Japan Asia one is like the classic SNK Neo Geo, like, red and white motif, and then the International one is sort of like the black and gray motif from like the MVS, like, home Neo Geo system. We don't have an official confirmation of what games are going to be on this thing, but in a really interesting twist, it actually has like a semi-arcade style form factor. So it, like, does connect to your TV, but it also has its own standalone little, like, 3.5-inch display and, like, a little arcade stick with a couple of, like, arcade-style buttons. So you can play it on your own as, like, a little portable-type console or connect it to your TV for Neo Geo emulation, basically. This is, I think, really exciting. SNK has said they will be announcing at a later date the available titles, but we do have every reason to believe it's going to have, you know, King of Fighters 97, Real Bout Fatal Fury, Samurai Showdown 2, Metal Slug 2, Metal Slug, Real Bout Fatal Fury 2, Samurai Showdown 1, King of Fighters 98. You know, sort of like the well-loved games of these franchises. So I'm stoked. What do you think of this one, Slaggy?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good time to be Neo Geo, I guess, to be SNK. I mean, I'm a little salty that we get the less cool looking one. I mean, I guess that's, especially in the 80s was a trend. I mean, like, you know, Famicom and Super Famicom look way cooler than the others. So, but yeah, I mean, I think that's really cool. And like I said, for those who don't have maybe for people who have a Switch, they may not need this, but I mean, also you get the adorable little, cabinet.
Yeah. I really love the form factor. As I grew up, like, playing these arcade games, which is why I love them so much, it means a lot to me to see them in this format.
Yeah, I mean, even if you just get one and you, like, set it next to your Pikachu, like, Pikachu's playing in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Arcade games, I would do that.
I'm sure you would. All right, well, we also have here a new Nicalis game that has been announced. This is Crystal Crisis. It is a crossover puzzle game with characters from many Nicalis published games, as well as some guest characters from some Tezuka Productions manga and anime. The thing that's really wild, though, is that Crystal Crisis is a puzzle game that is a no-bones-about-it clone of Puzzle Fighter. So this is Nicalis doing what Capcom can't. It looks like a very competent clone. It's going to be releasing on the Nintendo Switch. The characters confirmed for it already include Quote and friends from Cave Story, Isaac from Binding of Isaac, Astro Boy and Blackjack from Tezuka,
not to be confused Princess, with Jack Black.
Princess Solange from Code of Princess, Aban, Tina, and Jim Hawkins from the 1001 Spikes series, and just a bunch of other characters. I'm really excited about this. This is an absolute day one purchase. It's kind of everything I've been looking for in terms of, like, I keep saying I want to Switch Puzzle Fighter. This game appears to be exactly that. Oh, what do you think, Slaggy?
Yeah, Cap can't. I mean, by which I mean, if Capcom's not going to do it, then I'm going to be giving my money to people who do it.
Yep, pretty much. All right. And then have we talked about the training and versus modes in Street Fighter 30th Anniversary?
We haven't.
All right. Well, something else that shocked the community when it was announced is that the upcoming Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection is going to have a training and versus mode, training and versus modes added to Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter Alpha 3, and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. These are, of course, the four games that will also be having online modes added for them. But, you know, since a lot of folks in the fan community were really upset about the lack of this content, I think it's really cool that Capcom is going the extra mile, listening, and actually doing something for us. So I think that's rad. Any thoughts, Slaggy?
I think it's very rad.
All right, well then, let's start winding down by talking about what's up.
I said, hey, what's going on?
Let's see. I have been playing the mobile game Marvel Strike Force. It's the exact kind of game Slaggy wouldn't like. It's all kinds of different tokens and energy meters and things.
Come back and play in 2 hours and 15 minutes.
But I love it. I obviously love, like, Marvel superheroes, and it has a lot of different, like, game modes and things to do that aren't all just, like, money, 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 money. And I've actually gotten a lot out of it.
I suppose with a different type of work schedule where you maybe are able to take quick breaks every 2 hours, that, like, these types of games play well. For me, basically, it gets very little opportunity to take a break throughout the day to, like, play a mobile social game. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
Yeah, I also have checked out the BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle demo on Switch.
Oh, I need to do that.
Which is fantastic. The game actually feels really good. So, like, I'll load it up for you after this. While we're making the pizza, we can check it out. But it's, overall, I'm really impressed. I've also been playing Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze on Switch.
Mode? What? The new funky mode?
I have not tried out funky. I'm not really interested in that necessarily, but the game remains just effing perfect. It is one of the best 2D platformers I've ever played, and I remain super impressed. I still, you know, I don't give a shit about the fact that it's a port. I think Nintendo's killing it right now. And I've also been playing God of War. God of War is progressing very slowly because I can only play it when I'm at a TV tied to my PS4, but I'm like 4 or 5 hours in now, and and I'm really impressed with what they've done with it. It seems like a lot more of a thoughtful, slower-paced take on the material. It has things to say, which I appreciate, and I'm really excited to finish it at some point and talk more about it, possibly even do a little bit of a focus here on this show, maybe. Talk about a Western game, how wild would that be?
Right.
What about you? What have you been playing?
So I'm going to start with talking about, I finally got around to downloading the demo for Lost Sphere, and I guess I'm just got to say, honestly, I'm not really feeling what Tokyo RPG Factory puts out. I did not really connect with I Am Setsuna that much, and did not really connect with, I mean, even though, you know, it's meant to be kind of Chrono Trigger-ish, just really, you know, I mean, it didn't do much for me. So, I'm hoping that when I, try out the Octopath, I finally also downloaded the Octopath Traveler Demo Edition, whatever that was called. I haven't had a chance to pop that one in yet, or not, you know, literally pop it in, but to load it up, but I'm hoping that I'll connect better with that, which, you know, because I feel like I'm kind of, like, not really feeling RPGs lately, which is interesting for me. But I've overall been trying to, you know, so I actually I have some What's Up related news. I was planning on using some of my tax refund, because I was fortunate enough to, you know, get some money back from the government. Not everyone I know is that lucky, but I was like, oh, you know, well, GameStop was doing a trade-in deal where you could get quite a bit for even just an original Xbox One to apply it. I mean, I don't even think it was like to apply it specifically to a new console, but I was like, you know, with that and maybe trading in some Wii U games, especially ones that, you know, maybe I never even opened or that, you know, are now available on the Switch. I'm like, you know, that could take quite a chunk out of the Xbox One X cost. So I was all set to do it, but then my Xbox One won't connect to the internet, and it's a hardware issue. So I basically, I have a brick now, and I don't fault Microsoft for it, but it just, it sucks. So no more Xbox gaming for me for the very foreseeable future. So instead, what I resolved to do was to start catching up on buying some Switch games that I've been meaning to get around to. So I finally picked up Pokken. I've only really done, you know, some of the beginner league stuff, and it's kind of laughably facial, but it's fun. Like, I can see where it could be a fun game to learn to play competitively. So, you know, I'm looking forward to getting a little bit more experience with it. I've been playing as Blaziken, and he's pretty cool to control. But so I'm looking forward to just, you know, putting more time in, seeing how the different Pokés play. I also finally got Bayonetta 1 and 2. I mean, technically, I guess it's just Bayonetta 2, but with the download for 1. So I started a new playthrough of Bayonetta, and, you know, it feels great on the Switch. Just really starting out on that, though. And that's about it lately. I picked up Tropical Freeze. I haven't had a chance to spend a lot of time with it. Oh, I actually finally started playing Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, which I had received as a birthday gift back in the fall from family. So if it was a birthday gift from you, I would not be dissing it on the air. Unfortunately, not super connecting with it that much.
Yeah, it's a weird game. I like it a lot, but it is definitely a weird game.
Yeah, I guess it just wasn't really what I was expecting. So yeah, but you know, no big deal. So definitely looking forward to kind of my what's up next would be like Octopath Traveler demo finally, and seeing if I'm going to be trying to, you know, go for that fancy, if I'm like really digging the demo, I might go for that fancy mode Collector's Edition. Hyrule Warriors next week, Tropical Freeze. So definitely, and then, you know, we've got Curse of the Moon. So like a lot of stuff, for Switch coming. So woohoo. And with that, I guess we're going to wrap this up here, because
we do have a few social links here. We have Your Enzyme noting that he's back with us after too long of a hiatus. We are very, very excited to hear that. He also noted that he is in the battle for Azeroth beta. Ooh. I am also, so we should compare notes at some point.
I'm not.
We also had a really cool thread here from a listener at Kaiju_Stew, whom was noting that he screamed when we were talking about the Lodoss War Metroidvania style game coming up.
Yeah.
We are right there with you. So that's it for our social links this week. We will, as we get toward pre-3 and then especially E3, because, you know, we like to blow it out every year, we will be getting toward doing our social links questions of the week. We're also talking a little bit about doing some live episodes in that time window, so please be excited for the next few weeks.
I have to say, though, I thought that the term blowout was canceled.
I mean, I know what you're saying, but no, it's still a word. It can still be used. It doesn't have to be about gross stuff. Start that exit lewd.
All right. Well, we love your feedback, subscriptions, ratings, and reviews on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. We like your Facebook likes, and we fucking love Twitter. I'm dropping an F-bomb because this has the explicit tag. Fuck it. You can email us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
And because we're not doing enough to earn this explicit tag, there's 156 other fucking episodes of the show. Okay, now it's just getting like...
I dropped an F-bomb earlier. Calm down.
I know, and it's just getting ridiculous now. We're over at GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org. You can also check out the Voice of Geeks Network over at VogNetwork.com, where you can hear us and such shows as Girls Gone Wow, where you can get a female's perspective on the world's most popular MMO. Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom we steal literally everything we do. The Starboard Power Coupling Podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail.
I hope it fails.
In non-Vog shows, you can check out the Nintendo Love Fest, does exactly what it says on the tin. Their sister show, X Nation, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. The Astral Era Podcast, a podcast focused on in-depth Final Fantasy XIV discussion of new content, mechanics, story and lore, music, and of course, glamour, darlings.
Oh yeah, thanks for the tip on the Dark Angel glamour, which I resubbed just to buy.
You're welcome, BB. And last but definitely not least, Slagkick's show Reading is Fundamental, where myself, Rob Roberts, and Slaggy talk about the current season of RuPaul's Drag Race. Slaggy, take us a place.
I want to take you to a game bar, which is the place where you can kick back and listen to the sassy staccato of Jeremiah, Toopsie, and Todd. They are part of the Hunty Bunch along with VG Realness, serving up a dose of gaming chit-chat among friends. They hit episode 100, so I'm glad to see that they brought the boys back together. You know, they've been doing a lot more on, like, Twitch and streaming and stuff, but we're always fans of the VG Realness. Also, the Magical Boys podcast is a pop culture podcast from a queer perspective, and our allies over at the Nintendo Fun Club, that's your place for platformers, positivity, and pop punk. And Yuna and Luna, the kitties! I'd also like to shout out to our sister shows, which, you know, we're hoping to get back on track as well. We appreciate your patience. Those, of course, are Anime Buoy, your port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussions that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. And Stabcast, or the Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast, your twice monthly look at the deeper worlds of Pokemon. We have music, it's great. Our wonderful theme music was done by Zelda Reorchestrated, which is a project that aimed to reorchestrate beautiful Zelda music into gorgeous symphonic sound. They unfortunately closed their doors quite a while back, but will forever be pouring out a 40 into the Great Fairy Fountain, and maybe that's why I'm starting to slur my words. With that, I'm tossing it back over to you. Tossing this pizza back over to you.
Yeah, it has been a really lovely hour and a half.
Kind of getting my sea legs again talking.
Right?
Because Reading is Fundamental doesn't count, because I'm like, what do you think, hunty?
Well, yeah, it feels slay. Great for me. I've only been doing that show, and we do that on Skype. For the last, like, month, I have basically done no podcasting. It feels so good to be back at it. And, you know, with the changes in my life in the last week or two, like, I feel like I'm able to, like, bring my best self to the table. So I'm really excited moving forward. We will be back at you hopefully next week, but otherwise no later than 2 weeks from now, I promise. I hope you've had half as much fun listening as we've had talking. We really appreciate you spending this lovely Saturday night with us. We'll be back at you next time, but until then, keep gaming.
Keep gaming.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
And we will see all of y'all out there, space cowboys, girls, and any and everything that you choose to be.
I'm taking my Pikachu home.
All right. Well, at least speak into your mic for me.
No.